Oh, man. I don't know. I can't preach after that. But appreciate the teenagers are going to head out. They're going to have a session with Pastor Hetzer. And I appreciate Brother Tim and his faithfulness over the years. Just been a faithful man at Faith Baptist. And I appreciate him. You know, we grew up together. I remember those times when we were young adults. We would head to Big John's in San Susie. And you know what kind of place that was? It was big food, because Big John's, right? And we would just fellowship, eat steaks together and, you know, and all of that. But what bonded us all together was just that we just had the Lord. And, you know, just... I've missed your singing, bro. I have. And I'm glad that we got to hear the Lord communicate through him in song. And I appreciated all of the music all week, but this morning, all of our friends coming in as well. Brother Ryan this morning, the Jackson girls singing. And I appreciate these young people who just have a love for God and want to use their talents and gifts for the Lord. And you know, we're in a good spot as God's people with all of this giftedness that's coming out and being used to edify the church. And I remember days when, you know, the only thing happening was this quartet from Southland, and that was us, by the way. It was desperate times, but now there's just so much that God's using through different churches, and it's just wonderful, you know. And I know we've got many more. Sister Hera's here. She's going to give a special item in song today, I believe. And if she wasn't, she is now. But, you know, just all of that, it's just wonderful, and all of it to the praise and glory of God. And I'm thankful for the opportunities that we get to just be together, to glean and to be edified that way. And I hope that we don't take that for granted. You know, I spoke to our church last Wednesday about the fact that, you know, it's our 26th, I think, 25th leadership conference around that. We're trying to figure that out. But, you know, all of the memories here, all of the years we've been able to host, and obviously for me, really just the last 4 years been able to do that. But it was in this meeting as well where, as a young man, my pastor took me. And I've met for the first time some of you all, and still seeing you serving, still seeing you coming along. And, you know, Paul still with the great dad jokes, you know, all these years. Honestly, some of those, the intros to that, I was like, man, he's layering this thing now. He used to just be straight out. Now he's got layers of it. And oh, man, I don't know, I'm a fan, all right? So you can blame me if you're feeling like, oh, maybe a little bit, but... I like it. But I think about all of the years we've had here, and I just spoke to the church about the fact that we shouldn't take that for granted. And we shouldn't just, you know, feel like we just get to turn up and then it'll just happen. No, we need the Lord, and we need to continue to seek him. And, you know, in our day where I believe it's soon, the Lord's return, but we have a work to do, and we have a work to still accomplish in our day. And I'm thankful that we've been here this week. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4 this morning. And it's a joy to minister in his word this morning. I'm glad for the opportunities that we have to do that. And we've already, we've probably said it a few times, we've already been greatly blessed and filled with so much that God has already taught us. But if you just lend your ears and your hearts a little bit, I'd like to be a help to you this morning as we just consider something that I think sometimes we don't quite see the end of. And you know, we get opportunities. I think about, again, the many times where people have shown kindness to me, and I mentioned this to our church last Wednesday. You know, one of the times that I was really needing just the Lord was when I came to this meeting years ago. We were we had a great youth group. I was really looking after the youth group. I was a youth pastor of the church, but we had started to develop a great young adult group. And over the course of time, as sometimes it happens, you're ministering to people and for whatever reason, they make a decision to walk away from the Lord. And I was heartbroken about that. And, you know, there was a group of young men in our church particularly that I spent a lot of time with. We had a lot of fun in youth group. God was working in tremendous ways. And suddenly this group of young men started to walk away one by one. And I remember coming here just despondent, fairly discouraged for the fact that, you know, we had all of these potential young men who could just be used of God suddenly out in the world and not even considering what they were supposed to be doing for God. And I came and an older gentleman, I was coming on my own that year. And what was even more discouraging was the year before, those same young men, many of them came with me to this conference. And here I was now, 1 year later, and a whole heap of things happen in a year, doesn't it? And 1 year later, here I was on my own. And I didn't feel like it was frugal to hire a vehicle. And so I called the office and you know, the gracious staff at Good Shepherd said, "Pastor, no worries, we'll take care of that. We'll send someone to pick you up at the airport." And I didn't know it, but this older gentleman, he didn't know him. They gave me his name. I didn't recognize it. But he came and he picked me up and I sat in his car and he asked me, "Pastor, how are you? It's good to see you." And I said, "Oh, it's great to be here, you know, small talk a little bit." And he asked, "No, how are you really?" And I guess he discerned something about my countenance and the way I was, that he knew I was a little down, and I sort of unloaded. I sort of told him where we were at. And then he encouraged me because he had some of his own children walk away from the Lord, but he gave me a bit of his faith. And he told me some of the processes in his thinking and in his heart, what God has been teaching him. In the course of the half hour from the airport to where I was staying, he had just ministered to me. And honestly, conference was done for me already. I got what I need. And it was a kindness to me. And, you know, I'm not sure if that man ever really understood what came of that. And you know, as God's people, we're called to be people who are people of good works, people who would do things kindly and to show kindness to others. And you know, sometimes the way we would do that is we would sit with someone and ask them, "Is there a need that you have? Can I pray for you about something?" And, you know, someone said it this way, you know, in regard to our prayer life, imagine if you only ever got today what you prayed for yesterday. But I want to take that to another level. Imagine I only ever got the things that I have today based on what others had prayed for me for. And that's a kindness, isn't it? That we can give to people is when they make a request of us, if we can't meet it immediately, we might pray for it, and we might give it over to the Lord. And sometimes in all of those kind of things, we're sort of not mindful of the effect of it and the working out of it in the lives of those that we're trying to bless. And sometimes we can walk away from that and maybe not think about it, or maybe just think it insignificant. And maybe in all of that, we can be in danger of just then not practicing it anymore. Maybe you don't hear a thank you, or you don't hear an encouraging word back. Maybe you never know how anything works out. But, you know, I want to tell you that in all of that, God sees it. And God is much more effectual than we give Him credit for. Yes. You know, sometimes we'll look at that and we'll think nothing of it and that'll be it. But God has a way of using even your kindness to pay it forward for you and pay it forward for others. I think about some of you here this morning, and I love conference because we get to catch up. It's our annual get together that we can see each other, catch up on how things are going with each other. And it's been great that I've seen some of our familiar young adults that I've known for many years from Sydney, that I've ministered with, that I've seen grow up from yay old to, no, they're not quite as tall as me. Yay old, all right? And you know, one of the things I remember was a habit of mine for a long time is just to ask them, hey, what can I pray for you for? And particularly during youth camps and times like that, when I was really starting out in the ministry, I would ask them to write it in the fly leaf of my Bible. And I looked at that particular Bible. It's still my devotional Bible. And I opened it this morning and I saw some of the names, and I see some of their names, and I saw some of their requests. And I often wonder about that. There's some that they're not around the scene anymore. There's some that are, and I'm seeing the outworking of it. But you know, we don't always get to see. We don't always understand that God can use that kindness and really pay it forward. But I believe there's a demonstration of that in this story that we're going to see this morning. And really this morning, my goal is just to encourage you to just keep showing kindnesses and graces to others. You know, what a world we would live in if Christians just became more kind. What a world would live in, and what an impact we would make if we would just take requests and really have the faith to ask, like we've been challenged about already. That underlying theme, I think, that we've recognized over the course of our time already, of just believing God again. You know, I know the theme is be courageous, but you know, God sometimes works that out. There's the real theme, the underlying theme. And that is that. And you know, sometimes when we approach someone and we say those words, hey, what do you need? Is there something I can pray for you about? We're not quite taking it as seriously or as far as perhaps we should. We might say a little prayer, or we might just do it out of duty or just out of habit. But how much of it do we understand that when we approach the throne of God, that so much of even prayer is about supplication? That's prayer for others. And so I want to see here in 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to study a little bit about the Shunammite woman. And if you know the story, this woman from Shunem, which was just a town, a major town in the day, and the allotment, the north of the nation of Israel, and the allotment of Issachar, it was a fertile area, which meant that it was generally a traveling route that people would take. She was in that vicinity, and one day she noticed that the man of God, Elijah, was walking past, and probably another time and another time, and then eventually she got something on her heart. Said, I want to be a blessing to this man of God. She goes to her husband and says, hey, listen, you know, do you think it'll be a good idea to put together a little chamber so when the man of God comes past, we can be a blessing to him and he can just rest? And so the husband agreed, and most, you know, men who have wisdom would just agree with their wives. And he does that for her. And as a result of that, notice then the conversation that happens. In verse 11, and it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. It was a blessing to him. He was able to rest on the way. There was a kindness shown to the prophet Elijah. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, says to him, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say unto her. So he's instructing Gehazi, can you ask her this question? Says this, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. You know, she's saying, you've been so, so caring for us. What is to be done for thee? He suggests some things. Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. She was saying, you know, I don't really feel like I deserve that. I'm just here. And in verse 14, and he said, so he's inquiring further, what then is it to be done for her? And Gehazi, perhaps with some local knowledge, perhaps as they have traveled past and perhaps in conversation with the woman herself, just discerns something and answers for her. Says, Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child and her husband is old. And somehow, some way, the prophet and his servant discerned something that was deep-seated in the heart of this woman who had shown them kindness. And it enacts here now a little bit of an outworking of God that started really because a woman and her husband, who definitely had needs, who definitely had their own deep-seated desires that wasn't being met, definitely would come and now they're getting a little bit of a opportunity of a lifetime, so to speak. And this man of God is asking, what can we do for you? What kindness can we give back now? What is it that then you blessed us? How can we be a blessing to you? What can we request for you? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child and her husband is old. And you know what? He agrees. Elijah goes, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she says, nay, my Lord, thou man of God. She recognizes his position. Do not lie unto thine handmaid. She's saying, no, surely not. Surely, and you understand the physiology there. There was probably the time of bearing was going to be in that stage where it was going to be difficult or nay, impossible. And so she's saying, don't joke with me about this, is really what she was saying. Don't get my hopes up. Don't say that. And yet, what that tells us is that was something that was real in her life. That might be something that she hasn't really spoken about. You know, in that culture, that being childless and not having the ability to bear children, what was considered really a curse. It was considered as something that was not normal in society, and perhaps that desire in her was part of that, and understanding that she wanted to sense the blessing of God in her life, and here it was, this person that she had been given kindness to was now saying, I can give a kindness back. And I'm going to make a request of this. And in fact, the Lord said that this is going to happen. And as we read on, we see here that as she considers that, you notice verse 17, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And what happened was, it did come to be. And what I'm saying is sometimes in the small acts of kindness in our lives, we don't actually understand how God's going to pay that forward in our own life. We might just think, well, it's just something I'm going to do for someone. And we just don't know what God can do with that. And I just think about the fact that so many times we don't hold enough significance, and not in a selfish way, but in a way where how can this affect someone else if I can be a blessing to them right now? If I can make requests of them right for them right now? If I can meet a need right now? And what happened in the life of this woman was something that was deeply, deeply desirous in her own life was met in an unusual way because she simply enacted a kindness to another. And here it was. The Bible describes her, in fact, as a great woman. She was someone well-renowned. And she was asking something now that was perhaps a secret. And here God pays it forward. And I want to give you a couple of things where God pays it forward. And perhaps something that you haven't noticed, and I want you to notice this morning. The first way we see that God pays it forward is simply in the immediate. You know, we read this story and there's a conversation and then a year later it happens. That, you know, really, that's pretty immediate, isn't it? But in the immediate, notice this, this was a current conversation. And they marveled at this Shunammite woman's generosity of service. And you know, sometimes the things that we do for God today and the requests that others make for us in the immediate, we can't really estimate in value. But I want you to know that firstly, in the immediate, the immediate thing of this is that the blessing of just understanding that someone else cares for you. You know, when you go up to someone and you genuinely mean it, and you genuinely come to them with a great care and a great, just a great friendship and kindness to them, one of the things I know is this, there's an immediate sense that someone else cares for me. You know, for many years as I've ministered, one of the things that we do and one of the things that God has developed in my own heart is just that. It's just the care for others. And if you know me, and especially if you knew me growing up, you know, I was pretty selfish. There was just things that I just never noticed about anyone else. It was just all about what I needed to get. And yet God, you know, in what He does in our lives is He as we become more like Him, we become more concerned for the things of others. And you know, when we show a kindness in the immediate, there might not be an immediate effect like we think, but here's one effect. Here's one effect. That person knows that you care now. You know, sometimes we take for granted those little things, like a friend of yours will go, "Hey, what can I pray for you about?" And we sort of go, he's just making small talk. But we sometimes devalue the things that God values. And God values that we would just take the time to be with someone, and God values that we would just take the time in earnestness to go and just know, let someone know that they are being cared for. See, just knowing that someone is praying for you, I want to say, should immediately fill your heart with a sense of joy in what God is doing. You know, we take that for granted. We sort of say it offhand, and whether it's prayed for or not, I hope it is. I hope that when you do ask that you would genuinely actually pray for someone. You know, that I hope that you're not a serial offender, that you're just going and, you know, appearing spiritual and just saying that because it's a spiritual thing to say. I hope that you actually mean that. But I hope that when someone does ask, that you would immediately go, "Wow, that is a kindness." You know, the Lord taught me that one day. I was, you know, I would do that with the young people that I mentioned. And honestly, I sort of just took it for granted a little bit that I get to do that. And then one day, one of my young men, it was just very early on in my ministry, one of my young men responded. And he said, "Pastor, what can I pray for you about?" And you know, to be honest, initially, I was like, "You're going to pray for me?" I was a bit of pride. And God just was like, "Listen, He wants to take some time to pray for you. Don't you believe prayer is powerful? Don't you believe that prayer is interceding for you? And don't you believe that?" And God challenged me right there that, you know, it doesn't matter who it is that comes to you. It's a kindness that's being shown. It's a kindness to just reach out and be concerned. And you know, in acknowledgement of the kindness, the prophet Elisha goes and asks and cares enough to go, "You know, what is your need? What is it? Would you like an audience with the king? Would you like an audience with the captain of the host?" And it was deeper than that. And knowing that someone took the time, I want to say, to speak to God for you, it ought to be a blessing enough. You know, I again, love that we get to catch up. And, you know, again, Brother Steers, he was our young adult director for a while at our church. And I love, it's been a while, Brother Steers, it's been a while, and I've missed you. And, you know, we saw each other that day. And I love Brother Steers' spirit because he always tells me, you know, almost daily I pray for you. And I'm thankful. You know, I'm thankful that I had parents who oftentimes when I would wake up early, I would just hear them speaking my name to the Lord. That's a kindness to me. And perhaps they never understood the significance of that, but we ought to understand. And there's the immediate blessing of being cared for. Secondly, there's the immediate blessing of just hope in God. You know what it is when another person shows you kindness, it's a little bit of a picture of who God is. It's Christ-likeness. It's godly. Why? How do we know that? Because His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Because it speaks about the fact that God is kind and gracious to us. And so actually when someone else does a kindness to you, and you, when you enact a kindness to another, what you're following is just God's pattern, who He is. And you know, we walk away from that, and it's sort of like, well, but that is that. There's a bit of hope then in God. And initially, you know, she was skeptical. Initially, she didn't really want to say what was on her heart, but her speech betrays her when she says, "Nay, my Lord, thou man of God." What she was saying was, "You've touched on something that I'm really struggling with to have faith on, but you're asking me this thing now." And what that was, it was creating greater hope in her in the immediate. There's hope. And you know, perhaps this was a desire that she had continued to ask God for herself. Maybe there were some things that happened and then it didn't happen and all of that. We don't know the background of the story. All we know was this, it was a desire in her heart. And maybe in that moment, she didn't even recognize the hope that she was being offered. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. And what I'm saying is sometimes when we're asking for ourselves a certain thing and we're desiring it and it hasn't happened, sometimes when hope actually walks our way, we've stopped recognizing it. When maybe it comes in the simplicity of just, hey, is there anything you need? We've stopped recognizing it. We've just sort of taken it for granted. We've sort of said, well, I've tried to ask myself, but it hasn't happened. But it ought to create that immediate hope. But then there's also just this, just the immediate blessing of answered prayer. Just the immediate blessing that has been met. And, you know, the woman conceived, that we read that in verse 17, and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said. And what I'm saying is, what a joy. Hey, isn't it a joy when you have answered prayer? It's a joy when you're praying for something for someone and they report back and they said, hey, listen, you prayed and it actually happened. You know, the other day, I was just at the back there with Brother Andrew and we were just talking and I was looking at our literature rack over there with our tracts, and I like to keep a couple of Bibles there, and I told him, hey, listen, there's only one Bible there. And there was only one Bible. And you know, if there's anything you would like to steal in our church, it would be the pew Bibles, okay? You can steal those. You know, on some of them, it said, you know, in big writing, you know, church Bible. I'm like, no, take those off. If they want to take it, they can take it, all right? There might be some conflicting moral things there, but, you know, we can work that out with the Lord, but there's anything. But we only had one left. And I was just standing there with Andrew, and I said, hey, Andrew, why don't you look into that? You know, and I think the Lord heard me, because literally 5 minutes later, a man by the name in our church, Mick Augustus, comes in. And he goes, Pastor, I've gotten these Bibles. I've got hundreds of them. Do you need them? 5 minutes later. And you know, let's not forget that God is listening and God is kind, and at times God can answer in the immediate. Yes. And it was just that quickly, 5 minutes later, and you see the sort of the goldy sort of colored Bible there, that's there. And now we've got hundreds in the box over there. So again, if you've misplaced your Bible, I'd rather if you bought it from the bookstore, but if you really need to and you need to beg, borrow and steal, just go ahead, all right? But I'm saying that sometimes God can answer in the immediate. And what a joy. You know, that is actually the great fruit of just abiding. You know, when we're walking with God, part of that is answered prayer. Part of it is just God answers prayer. And I hope that we're still a people that believe that. I hope that we're still a people that believe that when we make requests for others, that God can actually do that, that God can actually send those things that we're requesting of Him and we're requesting for others. But it happens firstly in the immediate. But then notice as the story unfolds, notice verse 18. And it's amazing how in the Bible, between one verse to the other, years and years passes by. In verse 18, and when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And so he was out in the field. The child was now grown, old enough that he was out in the field with his father. And when he had taken him, he brought him to his mother. He sat on her knees till noon. Then notice these shocking words, and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And we know the story. She goes and sends her husband to search out for Elisha. And yet in this moment, this very thing that God blessed her with, this answer to prayer, became complicated. And here's what I want to say, that, you know, not only does God pay it forward in the immediate, God pays it forward in the aftermath. You know, there's a following, and we don't always see it, but God records it for us. You know what I found in life? Is that even in answered prayer, there's some complications. Even in answered prayer, it doesn't always work out the way we think. And here, this miracle son was given, and here, sadly, a situation happens, a sickness happens, and the son dies. The very request by Elisha, the very answer to prayer, the very kindness that was shown. And I want to say that there's the aftermath of complications to blessings, and there was such agony now that happened within the blessing. And I want to say that you know, sometimes we have this idea that once we've prayed for it or shown some kindness and God does bring it to pass, that's so often the end of the story, but it's not. Things happen in life, doesn't it? Things that complicate and trouble us and cause us heartache. And what happened was the very thing that he prayed for, that she prayed for, was now a heartache. And how much heartache at times have the very things we've been given brought us in our lives? There are times complications to blessings, sometimes like this, even to a devastating degree. And you know, maybe there's some here and you've been praying and praying, Lord, use me. Lord, use me, like I did as a young person right here in this room. Lord, use me. And then God uses you. God brings you to a place. And for me, I pray, God, use me. I believe you're calling me to the ministry. And I remember the day my pastor came to me and he said, hey, I'd like to hire you. I'd like to use you in the ministry. And it was week one. And here I was, all excited, all pumped up that here I am. I get to serve God and I get to do it. And I get to be part of the team and I get to minister like I've always wanted. And you know what happened? The very thing I prayed for became complicated. You know that week, that first week, I got a letter under the door. Remember Pastor Shemesh was talking about the letter under the door? And here I was. I was in ministry. I was a youth pastor, but I was also, you know how it is in our churches? You're an associate pastor /something, right? So that week I was youth pastor / school administrator. We had just started a Christian school. I was 20, 21 at the time, and I was green, I was excited, I was young. I just wanted, I had all the passion in the world to just change the world for the Lord. And my first interaction was, I got a letter under the door, you know, anonymous. And it was a critique of how I ran my classes that week. 1 week, they judged, like, come on, give me a month, then criticize me. 1 week. And you know, I thought about that and I said, I prayed for this? I prayed that I would be in this position and then this happens? And you know, life gets a little troubling sometimes. You know, the very things that God might in his own grace and kindness to us give to us may not always work out as it seems. But you know, in the aftermath of that, God does pay it forward. God then allows us to have some peace, and God allows us to just find some solution to the complications. And the aftermath of sorrow happened here in these complications. And the Bible tells us about now skip down to verse 27. When she came to the man of God to the hill, so they found Elisha, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away, and the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me." He was saying, you know, she's trying to make it like it's not something that fully concerns her, but it does. Then she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord?" Let's bring it back. Did you brought this? Did I not say, "Do not deceive me"? Are you kidding? You bless me, and now the heartache, now the sorrow, now the complication, now the trouble. And you know, sometimes we approach God that way. You know, you finally let me do this, and now no one likes me. You finally let me do this, and now I'm just the target of criticism. You know, in those moments, we can get a little bit sort of our perspective skewed about this blessing. And we would understand in this situation. We understand that this the heartache of this mother. And yet, she goes to the man of God with her sorrows, to the one who interceded for her before. And what happens is he intercedes again. And I'm glad for those in my life that, you know, when there has been a kindness and then now there's some trouble and there's a need of help that I can run to again. And certainly, I want to remind you this morning, there is the Lord. And you can come to him. And you can, in the sorrows of your life, and you can, in the complications of even his very blessings, still be able to count on him. And what happens is that also the aftermath then of God's continuing power. And you know the story, perhaps. Elisha goes and performs a miracle. He brings him to life again. But what that demonstrates is that God, who in the first place initiated the blessing, can bless again. You know, God's power is not diminished in the complications of our lives. God's power actually is more available, as we've learned this week, in the times of weakness and need. And here we see again the aftermath of just God's power, God's continuing power. And maybe you're in that place right now where some things that you've prayed for and asked God for is there, and yet there's trouble, there's complication. I want to tell you that God is still real. The very God who blessed you with that very thing that you're struggling with right now, and that the very thing that now perhaps isn't how you pictured it. I want to tell you that God is still real, and God is still able to come to your rescue. And yet, this great miracle, no doubt, would have gone all over the land. And we're going to turn now to another place in Scripture, just a couple of chapters, 2 Kings chapter 8. And many, many years have passed. And I want to tell you that actually God pays it forward, not only in the immediate. We get a sense that someone cares for us. We get a sense that, you know, there's hope. We get a sense that God answers prayer. God shows kindness. And in the aftermath, and sometimes things don't always work out, there's complications in life, that actually God's power is still available and God still cares and God still will work. But what we see is even further down, 2 Kings chapter 8, and notice verse 1, "Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life." And there's no doubt about it who this was. This was the same woman. "Arise, and go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years, and he gives instruction to the Shunammite woman. Take your family, go elsewhere. There's going to be a famine. God's called it. And notice here, and the woman arose. You know, there was an immediate response. Previously, she was like, "Nay, my Lord." But notice this further down the road, immediate. The woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And so she was rescued from that warning. But then the story continues 7 years later, again, skipping years in between verses. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines. And notice this. She went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. You know, what happens usually in a famine is that to secure the prosperity of the nation and the supply of the nation, they would allow just a little bit of a borrowing of the land. And then she's coming back now after the famine, and she's asking for her land back. She's now, guess what? Has an audience with the king. You remember that? Remember the offer that Gehazi, in communication from Elisha, was a suggestion? Do you want an audience with the king? Guess what? God heard that offer of kindness, and guess where she is now in the time where she is most needful? She's about to get an audience with the king. And it goes on, and it came to pass as he was telling, in verse 4, and the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, "Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done." And they were just talking about Elisha. You know, Elisha was their contemporary. Elijah had anointed Hazael and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, in their office, and had and anointed Elisha in his office. And now they're all just chatting with the servant of Elisha. "Tell me all that Elisha has done." And in verse 5, "And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land." And wow, talk about timing. And Gehazi said, "My Lord, O king, this is the woman." Like, how convenient, right? "This is the woman. Then this is her son whom Elisha restored to life." And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, "And here's a word, restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day." And you know what? She had no idea that the kindness that she showed was going to be paid forward all these years later. And the very thing that was suggested, you know, do you want an audience with the king? Guess what? God heard that. And God allowed it, and God, in his timing, paid it forward. And here she was now in the future. And here she was now, her faith was strong. Here she was now when the man of God had come, who had shown her the kindness. He had come now with a really instruction to go. She had no doubt. And that's what happens, you know, when we see God working in the small acts of our lives, we start to recognize that, no, God's not just here and there active in our lives. No, God is constantly active in our lives. And what that is, it's an increase of faith. It's an increasing of who he is. In the future, what happened was also her testimony was known. You know, that act of just building that little chamber, it brought her a little bit of being known. A little bit of, this is what happened with this woman. Oh, Elisha. And then he said, in this season, and then she did. And then sadly he passed, but then Elisha then came and, wow. And now they're talking about it all these years later. You know what? She had a testimony. And listen, maybe that's, you could be a testimony. Maybe that little thing of just, hey, how can I pray for you? Maybe that can be a testimony in years to come, but her testimony was known. But I want to tell you that in the future, God paid it forward and her rescue was assured. Because she didn't know it, but she needed all of these circumstances to fall into place so that God could then create a rescue for her. You know, remember that initial request that she rejected? What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king? You know, Gehazi was there when he heard, when she said that, when that was asked. And now Gehazi again is here with the king now. And wouldn't you know it, right as she returns, they were talking about her. Man, what God planned that. And you know, we don't often, and I think God preserves stories like this to do this, to encourage us that in the moment you might not know, but in the future, if you just stick with it, then you will know. And you will see. And that's, it's being fulfilled. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:10, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. You know, maybe you're going through something and you're like, how is God going to work this out? Listen, God will work it out. And God can work it out. And God can in his grace then, but you know, you're going to have to stick with it. And don't underestimate God's power to even grant the requests made by others on your behalf. You know, when I arrived here in 4 years ago, there were many things I'd been praying for, and I didn't really share it with too many, but I shared it a lot with my dad. My dad is my greatest prayer partner. And my dad would pray for me about things that I didn't even know I needed. But he would pray for me about things, and there was things I shared with him, and part of that was, you know, Lord, expand the work and let me be part of, you know, let me be part of what God is doing. And we got here and he showed me and he said, son, God gave you all that you've prayed for. And you know, I thought about that. I thought about the many requests that my parents would have made and others for sure would have made for my life. And I'm telling you, now 22 years later, I'm seeing the requests and the kindness of others in my life. God's made it to be. I'll tell you this story and then we'll be done. Because you see, God pays it forward in the immediate. God pays it forward in the aftermath, and God pays it forward in the future. We moved here to Australia. I was 7 years old. It was 1989. And, you know, we moved around as immigrant families do, and we were trying to find a place, and we found an apartment in Harris Park. And in Harris Park, we lived in across from a neighbor, and they took care of us. It was an ideal spot. But I remember I had a specific room in there. It was a 2 or 3 bedroom. Just a 2 bedroom. There was me, my 3 sisters, and my parents, right? And I was in a room, and we would all be in there. And I remember several times my parents would go in there, and they would pray for us. They would pray for our future. They would pray for our future spouses. You know, I was 7, and here I was listening to my parents go, Lord, help him with a wife, you know, help him with a wife. And I'd be like, ew, you know, as a 7-year-old. But they would say, bless him with a good wife and all of that. And so, you know, I would hear that, and we moved from there. We moved over to another place and another place, and eventually we landed somewhere in the west of Sydney where we met some people at Bethany Baptist Church. And that became our home church. And a couple of years into that church starting, my wife's family moved into that church. And we met. She instantly fell in love with me. She's making a face at me like, yeah. We met at a church picnic. I was playing cricket. And here she was. I look up and there's this girl running into bowl. I'm like, who is this? You know, and I hit her for 6, you know. I hit her for 6 in life. No, I'm kidding. But here she was, and we didn't know at that point. Obviously, we were going to get married, but as years passed, we discerned that is the will of God. We got married, and we had a time where our parents were sitting together. And my dad's here. I think my mom's serving somewhere. My mother-in-law's here, and we're glad for that. and they were chatting, and they were talking about their history. They were talking about, you know, when they moved to Australia. They said, oh, you know, when we first moved here, and they said, you know, we lived in Auburn for a while. Oh, we lived in Bankstown, and, you know, all great places, by the way, right? That's why I feel like I'm a little bit Lebanese, right? Because I just... And they talked about that, and they said, oh, where did you move next? They said, oh, we moved here. We spent a little time over here. And then the common thing of, you know, we moved to Harris Park. And they said, oh, where? And then they named the street. I think it was John Street. You're on John Street? And they gave the address. Oh, what unit? Number 6. Oh. And what they found out was a couple of years later, after we moved out from that apartment, they moved into that apartment. And the very room that I had was the very room that Azariah and her siblings had. And guess who? What her parents were praying for? They were praying for a husband for their daughter in the same room a few years apart. And God heard and he showed great kindness. And you know, you don't hear those stories unless you stick it through. But never underestimate how God can pay forward the kindnesses you show, the kindnesses that you speak, and the kindness that you should be in a world that's lacking it. And so I want to encourage you, continue to show kindness, because you never know how God will pay it forward. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the time. Lord, I appreciate your people. And Father, it's a simple thing, really. It doesn't cost much to be kind. It can just be words uttered to you. It could just be that we just seek you for others in their need. And yet, Lord, we know that you're such a gracious and kind God that we never know how you really, truly pay it forward. But Lord, in eternity, we will. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be the kind of people, Lord, to show courage in this way, kindness. And I pray that you'd then help us, Lord, as we head into the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.